the second time in a week where senior, respected members of the administration have been asked to walk out on a branch, and then Donald Trump has sawed off the branch.
It's not good for them if your Trump surrogates that were trotted out yesterday to throw shade on the Washington Post story to then have Trump effectively confirm it the next morning.
Other liaison partners also now begin to worry about the security of information they provide the United States because of this, of what's already happened.
And if what's been reported is true, this is a bit of a first for me.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. So reaction there to the Washington Post story yesterday claiming the president handed the Russians free classified information on ISIS. Senior officials, particularly National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster, tried to shut down the reaction with a statement yesterday that the president did nothing inappropriate and didn't compromise so-called sources and methods. A strong statement, but it didn't deny what the Post reported. Classified information was told to the Russians, and nothing about sources and methods was mentioned by the Post. This morning, McMaster's very careful, lawyerly statement was seemingly demolished by a tweet from the president. As president, I wanted to share with Russia at an openly scheduled White House meeting, which I have the absolute right to do, facts pertaining to terrorism and airline flight safety, humanitarian reasons, plus I want Russia to greatly step up their fight against ISIS and terrorism. Was McMaster thrown under the bus? Well, the general stepped to the podium once again today and insisted that all this was no big deal.
I stamp out my statement that I made yesterday. And what I'm saying is really the premise of that article is false, that in any way the president had a conversation that was inappropriate or that resulted in any kind of lapse in national security.
So then McMaster was asked if classified information was indeed disclosed.
What we don't do is discuss what is and what wasn't classified. What I will tell you is in the context of that discussion, what the president discussed with the foreign minister was wholly appropriate to that conversation and is consistent with the routine sharing of information between the president and any leaders with whom he's engaged.
We go now to Karin Demirjian, who covers defense and foreign policy for The Washington Post. Karin, I'm having a little difficulty here. How are you doing?
Well, it's coming fast and furious, that's for sure, in addition to the reaction to it all. The National Security Advisor's statement is still interesting. A few hours after the story published, when he spoke publicly, we'd also quoted him in the story, his denials about saying, well, we didn't talk about sources and methods, and there was no information here about any military operations that aren't already public, was not an on-point rebuttal or refutation of anything in the Washington Post report. What we talked about was that Trump seemed to have discussed a codename source and at least identified the city from which the information that this intelligence partner was getting that information, which seems like it would probably be classified information. I mean, you don't have codename sources all the time. You do that when somebody needs to be protected. And that this was information that we hadn't even shared with our allies. So is it possible that we just very intentionally codename source something that is not classified that we then didn't share with our allies that then the president shared with the Russian ambassador and foreign minister that alarmed people enough that we learned of this? I mean, I suppose so. However, it kind of doesn't jive with what seems to make sense, which is that there's something here that is certainly troubling for most other people. On the other part of the advisor's statement, that there was nothing, I believe, inappropriate. I may be misremembering the term that he used, but you know that sort of thing is in the eye of the beholder, and that's exactly what the problem is here. Was it illegal? No, it wasn't. The president has the right to declassify. Usually, it's a slower process that involves consultation with advisors and maybe a heads up to the members of Congress who have the authority to view classified information. But he didn't do anything illegal because he can declassify. The question is, should he have? And was anything done here that was wrong? I think the general backlash to this, the concern, the outrage that you're hearing from many corners of at least the political establishment, including the GOP, suggests that most people don't think it was appropriate, or at least seriously questioning whether it was appropriate, despite what McMaster has been saying.
Let's hold on to the appropriate issue for a moment and get to the city issue, because the city issue really relates to how classified information comes in pieces. There's the code name, then you've got the city. He was asked, McMaster was, about the city, and this is what he said.
It was nothing that you would not know from open source reporting in terms of a source of concern.
Karin Demirjian, is that believable? that, hey, you talk about cities all the time.
Yeah, sure, we can talk about cities all the time, but I didn't hear him name a city. If it's that much of a not big deal, why didn't he name the city? We didn't name the city because we thought it was a big enough deal that we wouldn't put it in that report. So, I mean, yes, you can talk about, you know, oh, there's nothing to see here, but he's not actually it's clearly a big enough deal that he's not identifying it himself.
And so I think is he confirming? Is he confirming that in your story?
I mean, we have to take this has been an exercise in reading between the lines since the story published. They are not making out and out confirmations, but they are not making on point denials either. And that is the artful political wordplay and needle threading that happens in these situations when you are dealing with information that was not supposed to be disclosed in the first place. You cannot come out and say anything that is going to make you an out-and-out liar, but you cannot come out and confirm stuff that nobody was supposed to have let out of the bag in the first place. So, I mean, I don't envy McMaster right now. He's not in a great situation. It's not an easy sort of thing to resolve, and I believe that probably they put him out there to speak to the press today instead of one of the press secretaries because he's probably the most well-versed in how to use words to get deftly through this situation as closely as possible. But you are not hearing him address things on point, either to say I confirm them or to directly refute and deny them. He's talking about the general tenor of the article or as reported as a whole, which, again, is not going point by point through what was in there, and the point by point of what was in there is what has been so troubling or shocking or whatever adjective you want to use in that spectrum to so many people viewing this, whether it's generally the American public or members of Congress or even, you know, advisors that are closer to the White House.
Karen Demirjian covers defense and foreign policy for The Washington Post. Listen now to former Director of National Intelligence General Michael Hayden.
It's very surprising. And it is damaging. I don't know if I'd call it catastrophic, but it is symptomatic. It's symptomatic of a president who's inexperienced and impulsive and doesn't seem to have any sense of humility in the face of his own inexperience.
The Trump loyalists may be the biggest casualties of this series of events. An intelligence breach, careful, partial denials from senior Trump administration officials, including National Security Advisor General H.R. McMaster. And then the president pulling rank on all of them to say he decides what to talk about when he's in a private meeting with Russian officials. The Russians are not allies, we should point out, and they are under investigation for trying to delegitimize a U.S. election. Here is a quite frankly shocked Jonah Goldberg, senior editor for National Review.
Donald Trump has this gift for, like, I don't know, what do you call those Russian Matryoshka dolls, for taking one firestorm scandal and creating one that's even bigger that envelops and makes us forget the previous one. I mean, yesterday afternoon, everyone was talking about the Comey firing as this incredibly debilitating problem for the White House. And now we have the intelligence leak story. Regardless of how it reflects on his handling of intelligence, I think the real political problem and the problem that he has in terms of how he runs the White House is that this is the second time in a week where senior, respected members of the administration have been asked to walk out on a branch, and then Donald Trump has sawed off the branch. He did it to Mike Pence last week. He did it to his communications team last week with the Comey firing. And he did it to H.R. McMaster last night. And he can't afford to humiliate these people because these people in a lot of ways are the circuit breakers. You know, Donald Trump has fewer reservoirs of trust inside the Republican Party than people realize. But what people do trust are a lot of the people around him. And if he keeps throwing them under the bus, the chaotic nature of this White House is just going to keep compounding and catalyzing. And I don't know where it ends. I have enormous amount of respect for H.R. McMaster. I know people in the military who revere him. He's a straight shooter. He's a serious guy. And I would like to think that he was doing it less to defend Donald Trump, the politician, and more to defend and protect America's interests and national security, because these leaks are a bad thing for American national security, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. Donald Trump has this amazing ability to taint honorable and decent people around him, and that is really dismaying.
Jonah Goldberg, thank you so much.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Jonah Goldberg, senior editor for National Review, columnist for the LA Times, and contributor for Fox News. The value of this shared intelligence is unclear, but it clearly was important enough for the intelligence community to swing into action to control the damage. Listen to Mark Lowenthal, former assistant director of Central Intelligence for Analysis and Production for the CIA under George W. Bush. He's currently president of the Intelligence and Security Academy. His point is that it makes the credibility of an intelligence operation more suspect and the operation of any intelligence agency much more difficult.
Politicians having braggadocio, there's lots of precedents. A president revealing sensitive liaison intelligence, no, not really.
What swings into action to compensate and try to limit the damage in such an instance?
Well, the horse has left the barn. You know, according to the article, a bunch of White House assistants then immediately called the CIA and NSA and said, we've had an incident here in the Oval Office. And the president said XYZ to Lavrov and Kislyak, because they need to go back to the source, the liaison source, the country that provides, and said, okay, this is what happened. And probably at the same time, they're spending a lot of time assuring other liaison partners, of whom we have dozens and dozens, it's okay, don't worry about it, it's not going to happen again. I mean, the damage is not just to this one relationship with this one source country. The damage is to all of the many, many countries with whom we have foreign liaison relationships. Other liaison partners also now begin to worry about the security of information they provide the United States because of this, of what's already happened. They're going to say, you know, do we really want to share this with the United States? And they can't give information to CIA, for example, and say, now, we're giving you this, but please don't tell the president. You know, that's not going to work. That's not a viable approach. There's a longer term risk here.
What does this do to the already seemingly compromised relationship between the CIA and the president? And for that matter, the FBI and the president don't seem to be on terribly good terms lately as well.
No, well, I think there are two different sets of problems, the FBI problem versus the CIA problem. You know, the CIA, I mean, the rank and file become more and more wary about dealing with senior officials. Now, that's our job. That's what we do. But if you begin to worry about, geez, can I trust them with this information, that puts sort of a really bad filter on the exchange. And I think, you know, intelligence officers being professionals who try and rise above it, but many of them are going to have in the back of their minds this hesitation, if you will. Now, happily, a lot of the people under him, McMasters, Mattis at Defense, even Tillerson at State, they understand intelligence. They understand what it does, what it doesn't do, how to use it. So that's good. But the trouble is, once you're inside the Oval Office.
Mark Lowenthal is former assistant director of Central Intelligence for Analysis and Production for the CIA under the George W. Bush administration. Currently, he's president of the Intelligence and Security Academy. Mark, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Bye.